Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Parking Attendant Flashlight Waver.
Mr. Parking Attendant Flashlight Waver.
Leaving the security of your 2x2 foot heated hut, you light the way.
Show me the way now.
Defying physics and most insurance policies, you wedge my midsize into the space of a compact. While you act like you couldn't care less about my car, I know deep down inside, you don't.
It's just a car.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O czar of the parked car. As long as that extra sawbuck translates to easy out, we'll keep pulling her in. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
From coast to coast and border to border.
And now we do it, baby.
It's Tailgate Radio. Here's your host, the Grand Sergeant, Johnny Legend.
Up in the parking lot, got the beer on ice, and the grill is hot. On your mark, get set, baby, ready or not, we're gonna get some. We got ribs and things, chicken and baked beans, plates and styrofoam, we came to get it on. Daylight and dark, whenever we all park, just get some, cause everybody wants some.
All right, Tailgate Nation, welcome back to this week's Tailgate Radio. I'm the Grill Sergeant John Largent, better known as the Left Shark. If you watched the Super Bowl, the Left Shark has been the talk of the halftime show. It wasn't Katy Perry. It wasn't Missy Elliott. It was not Lenny Kravitz. It was the Left Shark. And joining me this week is my Left Shark for the week.
Yeah.
Dawn Murphy, host of Track Smack with Dawn Murphy. And it's amazing that you found that show because it had your name on it.
Imagine. But I'm kind of, but let me back up because I'm sitting to your right. So would I be your right shark?
There you go. Left shark, right shark. It depends on if you're looking at us.
I'll just be a little more animated than the right shark obviously was. That was crazy.
Super Bowl 49 is in the books. And before we get to talking about that, first of all, I want to thank everybody for downloading this week's episode. You made last week's show the number one show in the world in sports and outdoor category. Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate the download and the support and the support of our sponsors. And man, a lot of fun. With a tear in our eye, football season is come and gone, and Dawn and I will be breaking down the game as best we can. And we'll be talking about a brand new show that's going to be coming on in the month of February,
mm-hmm.
Track Smack with Dawn Murphy. And Dawn, thanks for coming into Tailgate Radio this week.
Well, it's about time I get to come in and play on the radio with you here.
I know. You know, I got to do that with you one time, mm-hmm. at the studio in another lifetime.
Yes.
And so it's awesome to have you here.
Well, I'm liking your little dungeon setup here. It's nice.
Yeah, you know.
The padded room.
The padded room.
Every radio person needs a padded room.
That's right. And, you know, you kind of expose something there because when it's not working as a studio, there are other things that go on here that deal.
All right, 50 Shades.
Are you going to watch that movie?
Yes, I am. I was like advertising. I wanted a watch party.
I heard or read that the movie's 100 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
and 25 minutes of it is straight up sex.
Which I thought, I heard that too, and I
were you disappointed?
Yes, I was. I was like, wait a minute, because I read all three of the books, which by the way is probably three of about maybe 8 books that I've read in my entire life, because I'm more of a visual person or Cliff Notes kind of girl.
Yeah.
But I read them. And in fact, I read all three of them in one weekend.
Wow.
And yeah, I have a life too. I mean, believe it or not, I did. But they were really, really good. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
But you know, I didn't recognize any of the people on the movie trailer. So I guess they've got a bunch of new folks. Did you know them?
No. And I think that's the plan. And I actually kind of like that. I do, because, you know, I think they're going to, again, there's three books. So I don't know if the first movie, I haven't really read into how the movies are going, if it's just going to all three books in one movie, or if they're going to kind of do like they do in Hunger Games and all these other, where you're going to have the trilogy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I like the fact that they're unknown people.
Yeah. And you know, I like the fact that I didn't expect the opening sequence to Tailgate Radio to be discussing 50 Shades of Grey.
Sex.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually what happens with my show. Just put the warning out there now. I don't know. It usually ends up in the gutter within the first 3 minutes that we're on.
But. Yeah. Yeah. And we really have to temper ourselves, too, because we can go lowball pretty quick around here. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about food, beer, beer pong, beer strip poker, all those things that go along with tailgating, it can deteriorate pretty quick.
Or a Friday night at John Largent's house.
There you go. All right. You go. Friday. Yeah. What do you call that debauchery? We call it Friday night. Well, we're going to talk a whole lot about what you're going to be doing with TraxMac coming up soon. But before we do that, I want to talk about real quickly your thoughts on, because you've been in sports media for a long time. You're a huge, forgive me, big Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice little go in the Packers game a few weeks ago, but
it was a catch. But
go yeah, ahead. It was it was on, it was a catch. I'm not going to argue with you. It was a catch. Doesn't go down in the history books as a catch, but we can say now that it was a catch.
Oh, it does go down in the history books as a catch. That wasn't a catch.
Oh, okay. I see what you did.
But it was
there.
A catch.
All right. So, what were your thoughts on the game as a whole? Decisions that were made, personalities, the end of the game, the big fight. Well, just give me your breakdown on the game as a spectacle of sports in the highest 110 million people watched the game.
Yeah,
it was the highest rated Super Bowl of all time.
Wow. Well, you know, for me, it was the lesser of two evils kind of deal. So I know a lot of people say I didn't have a dog in the fight. I really didn't either, but I guess I was kind of wanting Seattle to pull it out, although I hate Pete Carroll, and I'd like to see him choke on his gum just once. I don't want like harm to come. I want somebody to do the Heimlich, but you know, he chews the gum like a cow does cud, and I just think it would be so funny to watch him just, you know.
Well, it looks like he's got more than just a couple of pieces of Hubba Bubba in there. It looks like he just unleashed the entire pack.
Remember when you were, because boys used to do this more, remember when you'd pull the pack of like Big League Chew out and you would just grab like a big old wad of it, thinking, you know, and stick, that's, yeah. But he just goes to town on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. And again, I mean, I'm a Texas Longhorn fan too, so I go back to the Texas Longhorn USC days.
2005?
Yeah. Vince Young, you know, that deal. So, I'm not really a Pete Carroll fan, but with that said, I can separate my hatred for him and look at it on the wide scope of stuff and say that the man is, his resume is amazing. And it just seems like everything he touches, you know, he's kind of got that Midas touch, so to speak.
Well, do you think that's what bit him in the ass in the end?
You know, yes and no. I mean, because I've heard so many different things. I think he's taken the rap for the offensive coordinator, you know, doing. And then at the same time, when does Russell Wilson kind of have some accountability for, I mean, quarterbacks change plays all the time, you know, at the line. I mean, you know, if you're seeing something or whatnot, it's second down. I can see it both ways. It's second down. You're thinking if it's incomplete, you still have two more downs. But my thinking was kind of like everybody else's. You've got, you know, beast mode there. You've got Marshawn Lynch ready to go. Now, I've heard these stats thrown at me that Marshawn Lynch had only, you know, like, and I want to say it was, and I'm probably not right with the numbers here, but it was something like in 10 tries in the red zone, he had only punched the ball in twice or something like that. But again, no one was stopping him that game. No one.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to go up for the go-ahead score. I just, And again, and I can play devil's advocate. It's second down. Give it to him anyways. I mean, what's the worst that's going to – I doubt he's going to, you know, run it for a loss. I mean, I doubt he's going to get pushed back. He's going to get you at least a couple of yards. So,
and they were at the two, weren't they?
Yeah. So, I mean –
couple of yards is all you need.
That's, you know.
And going back to Russell Wilson, too, I think the fact – say you call that play. Say that play is run exactly the same way. If you throw that ball on his back shoulder instead of where he threw it, it's still a touchdown.
Yeah.
So from your, you know, from your perspective, what you said spot on is that it was a poorly thrown pass, and Russell Wilson at the end of the day has got to live with that for the rest of the off season, and hopefully. But I like the kid; he seems like just a straight up shooter and just a good guy and a humble guy, and which leads me to the end of the game, which there was a melee at the end and.
A ruckus,
shenanigans, whatever you want to call it. I thought that was a little classless.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, it's frustrations, you know.
It is. It's
What upset me the most about even backing up just a smidge more, you know, with that bad play call was you just came off of one of the most unbelievable catches.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, probably for the entire season. I think it was right there with the Odell, you know, Beckham catch. I mean, it was amazing. And to be riding such a high and then just like that. But nobody knows that just like that feeling more than a Dallas Cowboy Tony Romo fan like myself. So, I mean.
Well, and the sad part about it, too, is nobody's going to remember that catch.
Mm-mm. Nope. They'll remember the bad play.
Yep.
But, you know, again, I mean, I thought it was a great game. And hats off once again to the cheaters. Oh, I'm sorry. The Patriots. and deflate gate. Never in my life have I been so excited to talk about balls. I mean, really. It was like my dream come true. Yeah,
and how many people on social media during the, especially right before halftime or right at halftime, did you see tweets and thing and memes on Facebook that said something along the line of Pete Carroll found his balls and they weren't deflated, you know, because of that big fourth down call he played or there was just 6 seconds left and he could have kicked a field goal and decided to go for it and actually made it a tie ball game at halftime. So yeah, I, you know, it was great theater. I thought that the commercials were mostly a drag. I still feel sad for the Nationwide kid that died, that is never going to get to fly.
Okay, stop right there, because 3 days leading up to this, all I'm hearing on social media is, you know, have you seen this GoDaddy ad? You know, this GoDaddy ad that got pulled from the Super Bowl. They didn't play it because people were having such, you know, I mean, an uproar because GoDaddy kind of took a shot and made fun of a little bit with the Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, it was a puppy commercial, right?
Yeah, and it was supposedly a puppy falling out of the back of a truck, which isn't funny, but the puppy's fine. I mean, he gets lost and he makes his way back home through all these treacherous conditions and stuff. And I guess as he's getting back home, the owner is like, oh, just in time. And you see the website and it says sold, and she had just sold him on the GoDaddy website that she created. This is a
and
problem.
Danica was driving the van in that commercial.
Yes, this is an issue, yet a commercial about a kid being dead and not doing things in life was okay?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get the message. And I've heard other people say, hey, it's their money, they can spend it on what they want. But damn, that was depressing.
Dude, I needed, like, is it Cialis or what is it for? I don't
know.
No,
Cialis is for, you know.
Oh, okay. That. No, then I don't need a Cialis. Maybe somebody I know. No, I don't. What is it? I don't know. I get so confused on all these commercials. But I needed, you know, an antidepressant or something by the time.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, there was the domestic abuse.
Yeah.
The phone call, the fake delivery of pizza because she couldn't talk because she was being. I mean, those are just. I mean, are they important?
Yes.
They're absolutely important. But I guess if you've got 110 million people, if you want to get that message, that's the place to do it.
Although now you've just given away. I mean, this is my friends who I'm sitting with. I'm like, I look over and again, I have a warped sense of humor. And I look over and I'm like, well, great. So much for talking in code now. I guess if you're getting, you know, the crap beat out of you, don't say you're ordering a pizza because that's been given away now. So, no, that's terrible. But, you know, the whole thing was just depressing until I don't know if they played it. I don't remember seeing it during the commercial during the Super Bowl. It was after. I watched my friend Dan and I at least 40 times, and thank God for DVR because you can pause and go frame by frame. Did you see the Mountain Dew Kickstart commercial?
Absolutely. Favorite ad of the night.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we must have sat there and watched everything that you could see in the background. Oh, my God, look, this picture's dancing. Look, the lamp is dirty dancing, and then the lamp is spanking in the background.
Yeah. The dog is twerking. And that was my favorite ad. In fact, before you got here, I was watching that with my kids, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break here from all these goings on here at Tailgate Radio. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to Dawn Murphy about her show that's coming up. We're going to talk about, we might go back and do movie reviews. I'm sure you also want to talk about the trailer, I think aired during the Super Bowl for Magic Mike.
Oh, I saw that today.
Oh, you saw it today?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, we can talk about that.
Okay. Well, we'll be back, folks, with more post Super Bowl, what are we going to call this show? Post Super Bowl Afterglow, can we call that?
Okay, sure.
We'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this.
You're listening to Tailgate Radio.
You ever wanted to be a grill master? Hi, everybody. This is the Grill Sergeant John Largo with Tailgate Training Camp. And if you've ever wanted to have that experience that you need to become the master of your grill, you need to be watching the Outdoor Cooking Channel. The Outdoor Cooking Channel features some of the best barbecue pit masters in the country today with great how-to tips, demonstrations, and full episodes where they're cooking some of their favorite dishes. So head over to the Outdoor Cooking Channel. Right now, you can find it at outdoorcookingchannel.com. Or on Roku at the Outdoor Cooking Channel. Do it today. Tell them the Grill Sergeant sent you. TheOutdoorCookingChannel.com.
And we are back on this week's post Super Bowl Tailgate Radio show. Joining me is, man, you are badass when it comes to NASCAR, motorsports. You know it all. I mean, not only do you know it all, you know everybody in the business. When I first heard your show and heard who you bring on as your guests, mm-hmm. It's like, damn. I mean, I'm really in awe of your ability to, not only do they know you, they recognize you, and they not only recognize you physically, but they recognize you as a knowledgeable motorsports NASCAR aficionado. I'm here with Dawn Murphy, if you don't know that. She's the host of Track Smack, and she's badass. Aww, and I'm glad to have you here. And more importantly, I'm glad to have your show going to be available later this month on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on the TuneIn app, anywhere you can pick up the show. It's going to be available in all these places. And tell us about what you've got planned for Track Smack.
Well, I'm excited. Track Smack, we will be entering our 13th year doing it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. Track Smack actually started off in San Antonio when I worked at a local news talk station, and we used to carry NASCAR races, and they wanted us, before the PRN network would take over the races, they wanted us to do just like a little 30-minute pre-race show.
Yeah.
and that's how it kind of started, and then it just developed and went to a 1-hour show and then to a 2-hour show, and I'm telling you, I could do 4 hours in a day if you let me. It just
So what drew you originally to motorsports? I mean, how did you get involved, and how did you just get that fire about it? Because I mean, you know your shit.
I try. If not, I make it up and I BS good. No, I actually got involved in NASCAR. It's funny because I knew nothing about it, knew nothing about racing. And my sister met my now brother-in-law, who is from Tampa, Florida. And when they first started dating, he came here and he's like, you know, do you watch NASCAR? Because I was such a huge sports fanatic with everything else. I said, no, it's a bunch of rednecks going around in a circle. Why am I going to watch that? And he's like, no, well, it is. But I mean, there's more to it than that. And so I watched actually the Daytona 500 in 2000. So the year before Dale Sr. died. And you know, I was like, okay, I mean, I get it. I see it that there's, you know, some things involved. But then I went to Florida the following year and I went out to, there was a local track there called Lakeland. And there's a Hooters Cup race. And I went and watched that and I was hooked then. Then I went to my first NASCAR race at Texas Motor Speedway the same year. And again, it's cliche, but it's so true. Until you go in person, you just don't get, NASCAR is one of those things that you just can't appreciate. Kind of like probably like baseball and even I think hockey. I mean, watching it on TV, it just doesn't sometimes transfer over to how exciting and how in-depth and how much of a team sport it truly is. And that's kind of how I got my start. I was doing sports radio and stuff, and I just, believe it or not, just kind of fell into a niche. And I'm a little bit different because I think other than Claire B. Lang over on Sirius, I think other than that, I'm pretty much the only woman that's hosting. There's a lot of women that co-host and, you know, they're the token girl on the, but I'm running my show and, yeah. And the boys answer to me.
Yeah. And you know, you said something real interesting because, you are, what I have found in talking to you as we've gotten to know each other is that you continue to be a student of the game. I mean, you're always up on changes in the vehicles and changes in the rules. You get pissed off about certain things and when people get fined and don't find. So, I mean, you understand it in a way that, I mean, quite honestly, I don't understand, but I haven't spent the time. And so it comes out when you talk to some of the guests that you have on your show that you, A, are super knowledgeable, and B, you're like a CPA. You've got to be on top of all those new rules and all those new things that are going on every year to really understand it. And I think that's one of the things that people truly appreciate when they listen to your show is how it's actually an educational piece. And I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Daryl Waltrip I was hearing you interview that basically said the same thing. And coming from somebody like DW,
yeah,
that's a huge compliment to you that he understood just by talking to you that you knew exactly what was going on and that you weren't that token person that, you know, maybe just there for the soundbite or something.
Well, and I've always tried to keep the concept of the show the same. We are a fan show, and that's something that when I listen to shows, so many shows are just talking heads, and everybody's an expert. And, I mean, how the hell am I going to call myself an expert? I've never driven a race car. Now, I've driven my car fast, and I have road rage, and I have thought about bumping people and, you know, doing, putting a, you know, fender to the bumper and putting them in the wall, but I've never technically done it. I haven't owned a team, you know, so I mean, these are the things. I'm far from an expert. I don't call myself an expert. I'm a fan. I bring on the experts and I bring on the talking heads, and they give, you know, but I'm very opinionated, and that's what I like, though. And I like the fact that people can come and do the show and be a part of the show and give their opinion and not be afraid and not, you know, I mean, it's balls out is what I like to say. And even though proverbial.
Yeah.
Wise,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about.
Do you hear my phone ringing? That looks like an old Model T.
Yeah. I was wondering what that was.
What kind of radio person am I that I have my phone on and not on vibrate? Oops. Sorry.
That's all right. You know, I appreciate what you said, but at the same time, I'm going to give you, you know, the credit that is due. You may not be an expert in the classical sense, but you are a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the nuances that are associated with, you know, as you talked about it being a team sport. You know, I don't even think you remember this, but I don't even remember where we were, but we were talking about something going on in the pits, and you made just some keen observation about one of the guys that was changing the tires, and you know, I totally blew past me. And so I mean, it's the details that you bring as a fan that also hosts a show that I think people do appreciate, and they can relate to you because you're not talking down to people. You really are engaging them and getting involved in an interactive way.
Well, and again, I'm like I said, I love debate, and I like, you know, and that's the beauty of NASCAR is on any given weekend, you know, you can have a family out at a NASCAR race. There could be a, you know, 10 people in that family, and all 10 people are representing a different driver, but we're all in the same place and we're all there for the same reason. I've told you that tailgating at NASCAR events is so different than tailgating at an NFL event, which I've done, or, you know, or college football games, because it's just a completely different atmosphere. It's a family atmosphere with spring break also involved in it. But no, I mean, it's just everybody knows that they're there for the same reason.
Yeah.
And NASCAR family, NASCAR nation, it's a little bit different than other sports. And I also want to say, though, that with TrackSmack also, we also cover the IndyCar racing league. I love IndyCar racing as well. So we follow that. I'll get a lot of people that ask me, you know, do you do Formula One? I really don't, but my co-host does that are on, and I bring on experts. We'll talk NHRA, IHRA. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said if you want to put two kids on a tricycle out in your street and talk about it, you know, call the race, call in and talk. We'll discuss it. I mean, and then every now and again, I digress and talk about other sports or pop culture stuff because I'm a girl and that's what I do.
50 Shades of Grey.
Exactly.
Or Magic Mike.
Whatever. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this, because those of you that aren't big race fans, and I want you to tune in to Track Smack with Dawn Murphy when she gets the show kicked off, probably right around Daytona. I want to talk to you about Daytona, because unlike many sports, NASCAR opens their season with their Super Bowl. At least that's my opinion. Is that accurate, or is that?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what everyone has always called it. I mean, the Daytona 500 is kind of, it's the Super Bowl of racing. We kick our season off with it. And I know a lot of people are always like, well, why? And it's like, well, why not? I mean, really and truly, why not? And it's also because we have a playoff system at the end of the season. So we crown a champion at Homestead in Florida. We have a 10-race chase for the cup is what we call it. Basically, the NASCAR season is 36 races long. The first 26 races will secure up your spot if you're in the chase. There's 12 spots in the chase. They're not changing any rules this year as far as the chase goes. And last year, they've tweaked it enough that they nailed it. And last year's championship run was amazing. It was
dramatic. It come down to the wire?
Oh, and it has ever since they started the chase. But this year, what made it different is there was four guys instead of just two vying for the championship in the final race. And I mean, you had fisticuffs flying, and you know, I mean, you had all sorts of stuff. You had, you know, Kevin Harvick pushing Brad Keselowski into Jeff Gordon, that started the melee at Texas.
Yeah.
Every week, I mean, there was something going on, and it was heated. And I guarantee you, people have not forgotten. Drivers have not forgotten. And Daytona is one of these tracks that, you know, maybe not in the 500, but in speed weeks, which, again, the Daytona 500 is actually, it's a two-week-long race deal. We call them the speed weeks. So you've got, like, the Budweiser shootout and things like that the week before. And those are fun races just kind of to get your position into the Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only race that you don't qualify for. It's really confusing. There is qualifying, but basically you're qualifying for the pole or for the outside pole. That's the only
That's
two
it.
Positions. After that, your qualifying is you race your way into the Daytona 500 in the duels. And that's the two races that they do during speed weeks. And the people who win those will be in the third and the fourth position for the Daytona 500, and everybody else falls in where they finished. And so that's how you qualify for the Daytona 500.
You know, I have been to Lowe's Motor Speedway in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I've been to Texas Motor Speedway. I've been to, believe it or not, I think it was New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Loudon, I love
Loudon,
it.
Loudon, yep. And so, you know, and I've also been to the one in Tennessee, Bristol.
Great.
Yeah. So I noticed that they're different configurations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Texas and Charlotte that are these huge super speedways, and
we call them the cookie cutters. They're the mile and a half tracks,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have smaller tracks that are called short tracks, I think.
Yes.
And tell us the difference about those, and what are some of your favorites that you like to visit, and why?
Well, you've got your super speedways, which are your Daytona and your Talladega. Those are, you know, your 2.5 mile tracks. And then you've got tracks like Pocono, which is huge. Indianapolis, those are, you know, 2.5 mile tracks. But some are flat, some are banked. Talladega and Daytona are banked tracks, and what we mean by that, they're, you know, the curve, the banking going into the turns, mm-hmm. Can go sometimes 3 stories, 4 stories high. In fact, at Talladega one time, they used to have this video on YouTube. They had a VW Bug up on the top of turn 2, I want to say, I think it was, and people were holding it and they let it go and it just tumbled over. I mean the guys are almost completely inverted when you watch the camera views. Wow. And they're pulling G's that fighter pilots pull in the cars, you know, going 200 miles an hour. And again, those are the Daytonas and the Talladegas. That's where you're drafting. So that's where you get the cars that are, you know, all hooked up on the bumper. So you've got 43 cars within an inch, 2 inches of each other going 200 miles an hour for 500 miles. Wow. It's exciting. And the, usually you get the big one. And we're not talking about Magic Mike. We're talking about the wreck. and then, you know, then you've got your mile and a half cookie cutter tracks like Texas, Atlanta, Chicago, Charlotte. And some of those are boring. I mean, I'm very honest. The cars get strung out, you know, but they've started to do some things with the tires and with the setups on the cars to make them a little bit more interesting. And now, especially with this chase format, guys don't have the opportunity to just hang back and ride around. They've got to make something happen. Then your short tracks, Bristol, Martinsville, Dover, tracks like that. Bristol is unique because Bristol is a short track. It's not quite a mile, but it's banked. So it's kind of got, it's short track with...
It's like a bowl.
It is a bowl. And it's short track with Daytona in it. Kind of. Yeah. And then, you know, then you've got your mile tracks like Loudon, like you were talking about, where you can actually get a little bit of a draft going in those. It's just very interesting. And then you can't forget, we actually do turn right at some points, and that's on the road courses.
Yeah.
You've got your road course in Sonoma in California, and then in Watkins Glen in New York.
New York, yeah. Are there drivers that specialize in different kind of tracks? I know, like, you know, I grew up, believe it or not, looking at me now, you'd never know this, but I grew up playing tennis, really competitive tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some guys that I would play on the circuit that would specialize in clay,
mm-hmm.
or they'd specialize in grass. And we got to play on all those surfaces, and people really did excel on certain surfaces. So is that the same with drivers? Are there some that prefer the short tracks and some that prefer the road tracks and some that prefer the super speedways?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got guys that are open wheel drivers that have come from the open wheel series that, you know, you would consider kind of your road course guys naturally. You've got guys that are, we don't have very many concrete tracks. I mean, there's still a couple, most of them, you know, now are the are asphalt, but you've got guys that came from dirt, you know, have the dirt background, and so it's really weird, you know, they're able to slide the car and cars can be set up a lot looser and they seem to drive better with them. You've got guys like Adele Jr. that most people peg for your, you know, Talladegas and your Daytona as the guy. He followed in his dad's footsteps and he's able to somehow, he's just kind of the guy that everyone wants to kind of be near when it comes to drafting. He's able to, and this is all technical, but a lot of it is being able, they used to say his father was able to see the air. And he just happened to, he would put his car, he could side draft and get air off the sides of the cars. He could, you know, draft behind them. And Dale Jr., Tony Stewart, those are two guys that are really able to draft very, very well and anywhere on the track.
Well, you brought up Tony Stewart. Let's talk about him for a second.
Sure.
Because he had a rough 2014, mm-hmm. especially after you know, the incident that happened on the dirt track.
Yes.
Do you think he's going to be able to recover from that?
Yes, and I think he's already started the process. He's actually been saying here during the off season. He went and bought a new sprint car series, and again, that's where the wreck happened, was in the sprint cars that he was racing, which are winged cars out on a dirt mm-hmm. track. He's actually now, he owns a track in Eldora, which is a track that the truck series runs on now. It's the only dirt race that we have right now.
I love trucks, by the way. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely my favorite out of the big three. But Tony bought into the sprint series now, sprint car series, and is owns that. Now, he did say even this week, he came out again and says he really doesn't know that he will ever race a sprint car again after this incident. So, yes, it really did mess with him. But not only that, you know, the year before, he broke his leg in the car. I mean, he had an incident. And then, you know, he had another wreck at the same track where a young woman had broke her back. And you know, he was part of a wreck of about 15 cars. I know the media who don't follow NASCAR like to try to spin that and make it sound like he intentionally, you know, like it was him.
Right.
He was just one of cars that were, he started it. I will say that he put his car in where it didn't fit. But, you know, in the process, this young woman, I want to say she was like 18, I think, or something, broke it back.
Yeah. But don't you think, because I look at it this way, and again, from a periphery, somebody that doesn't follow racing super closely. I mean, I know a lot of the names and I follow the big races and things like that. But, you know, I look, you know, my opinion of Tony Stewart is he's still going out to some of these smaller tracks. He's drawing folks in. He's helping that track owner. He's helping promote the business. And to me, that seems like somebody that really loves what he does.
Oh, he does. And he was an owner, too. And that's the thing is, by being an owner, that's why he was racing. A lot of people were, well, why was he racing in these races? Or why does Casey Kane race in these races? Or other guys? Tony Stewart's an owner, and that was part of the deal is, you know, I mean, in order to get sponsorships, sometimes you have to put yourself, you're the big name, or, you know, certain races, if they were off that week or if they happened to be in the area, which they were at Watkins Glen, so they were there in New York, he'll step in, or Casey Kane or another NASCAR guy will step in, and that sells tickets. That puts butts in the seats. And it also brings more awareness and more sponsorship to his drivers that are driving the circuit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what he does. And he's not the only one, and he's not the, you know, only one that's ever done it. I mean, this is how it works throughout all the series.
Yeah.
And you have guys that go home to their home tracks and race a lot. You know,
yeah. So do you think that this season, and we'll talk about who you like this year and why, but do you think, because I always look at the business side of sports too, having worked in sponsorships and things like that in the past, is NASCAR back on the uptick, or is it still having challenges from an overall sponsorship, retention, and maybe even bringing in some new sponsors to participate in this season?
It's such a touchy subject because NASCAR got hit probably harder than any other sport did with the recession back in 08. And the problem was, too, is it was on such a high. It reminds me of the WWE in the 90s. It had gotten to a point where it was so big, there was no place for it to go but down.
Yeah.
And with that said, over the last 4 or 5 years, it's had some of its lowest ratings that it's had in the last decade. But with that said, there are, I mean, sports, Major League Baseball, for example, the NBA, that would kill to have the numbers that NASCAR's pulls, you know, at right now.
I went to a Sunday afternoon Rangers game last season, and there may have been 10,000 people in the seats.
Yeah.
I mean, so it has affected every sport. But I just know that more than anything, at least in my opinion, you know, NASCAR, at least again from my perspective, is so tied to the because even having small kids, you know, I like the M&M car, I like the Lowe's car, you know, they're so identified,
mm-hmm.
you know, almost synonymous with their sponsors that you know, I know it's a lifeblood because it's not cheap to run those teams.
No.
And they have to have those dollars. And I know, like in NHRA, drag racing, which I have followed, and we actually did a tour with them a few years ago. Some drivers don't make it through the season, and they have to drop out because of sponsor issues a lot of times.
Well, you have that NASCAR too with your starting parks and things like that. And it's a long season. I mean, it's really and truly 10 and a half months, 11 months out of the year. I guess about 10 and a half months is really what they do. And I mean, even when the NASCAR season is done, the season isn't done, you know, because then they start their testing sessions or their off season work and stuff. I mean, it's a go, go, go kind of deal. And it is expensive, you know, but you've got some sponsorship stuff shifting around. You had the Nationwide Series last season, which, you know, is the second tier series. Now is the Xfinity Series. Nationwide pulled their sponsorship off of the off of the Nationwide series itself, but has now moved it over to Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s car, you know, as a full-time sponsor there. So, I mean, there you have a lot of sponsorship shifting, and there are new sponsors. At the same time, yeah, there have been sponsors that have been lost. I mean, I know, like, you're not seeing any of the U.S. government kind of stuff really right. anymore. The National Guard pulled. And a lot of that is just because of the dollars now that are, you know, allocated towards sports. It's mm-hmm. just not there. So that's the thing. And then the other thing to keep in mind with NASCAR is, unlike, again, Cowboy, you know, or like I'm just going to use the Cowboys, for example. You know, majority of fans that are going to Cowboys games, majority live in the greater Dallas, yeah. Fort Worth area. I mean, you'll have people that travel, but I mean, a large, you know, component. NASCAR, while you can kind of say the same thing, you really can't. People travel. I mean, mm-hmm. even people that live, like, for example, I mean, for Texas Motor Speedway, I'm 4.5 hours away.
Yeah.
But I would be considered local
yeah.
because I'm here
yeah.
in the state. You have to take in consideration that people doing that, you know, travel costs. Gasoline was so high, you know, over the last few years. And if you're going up to, and a lot of these tracks don't have the hotels and stuff all around. So people go and they tailgate and they camp for a week. Well, you know, the cost of propane was up and fuel and, you know, for RVs and all these things, you know, you have to take into account. And people just didn't have that sort of money to be traveling all over the country like they have in the past. With that said, there was, though, I mean, a knock on NASCAR. The product really wasn't there, too. It was kind of had hit a lull.
And they neutered the cars too much?
They neutered the cars, you know, they were just trying to adjust, and a lot of that had to do with the safety things and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what was neutered was the drivers. I mean, there was no one there really willing to just put it all out there, and then all of a sudden you started to get this, you know, your Brad Keselowski's and Kevin Harvick kind of got the spark back up, you know, his ass, and I mean, the Kyle Busch's, and slowly but surely we started to see this turn of new blood coming in and trying to, you know, make their way and early, and a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like the young guns like the Brad Keselowski's and those guys.
Yeah.
But they've single-handedly, to me, saved the sport.
Well, and I like the fact, and I don't know if he's considered an elite racer or not, but when you have like a renegade, like Juan Pablo Montoya.
Loved him.
I mean, but he rubs people the wrong way, apparently.
Yeah, well, and he's no longer in NASCAR now. He's over in the Indy Series.
Oh, is he?
He's
okay.
Back in the IndyCar Series.
Okay. But he was there last season, right?
No, the season before. He went back to Indy last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
But, well, you know what? Well, let me back up. No, because he did race a couple of races last season in NASCAR. He comes over and does some stuff for
Thanks
Roger
for saving
Penske.
Me on that.
Well, a lot of
But people, I like him. I mean,
he's one of my favorites.
And I like his I read a lot of that stuff, and I just know that, you know, I guess things that were left, my impression of him was that he kind of did it his way and not the standard way, and people didn't necessarily care for it.
People didn't like him when he first came in because he was Colombian. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, NASCAR is an American sport. I mean, that's people, you know, pride themselves on the, I mean, I remember when Toyota first put the cars in and people, oh, that's not an American car. We don't want that car. And, you know, slowly they've let that go. And they did the same thing for Juan Pablo and other guys. What they didn't like about Juan was Juan came in and Juan didn't take any crap from Tony Stewart
right,
or from
right.
other guys. And part of the reason why is because everything that Juan raced from Formula One to IndyCar, he won in. He was an Indy 500 champion. He was a Formula One champion. So he came in with that attitude of, while he was new, he's a champion. And so I kind of like that. I didn't like the fact, I don't think that because you're a rookie, you have to move aside and let
right.
the veterans go in. We're all, you know, everyone's there to win a race. Now, I think you have to pay your dues. But part of paying your dues is also standing your ground and making your way in the series. And there are guys, and again, you're going to have fans that don't like guys like Brad Keselowski, like I said,
yeah.
Or Joey Logano or these guys. Kyle Larson is another one that amazing talent coming up right now. He just finished his rookie season. And I'm telling you, you saw a guy that was very respectful this season, but you also saw a guy that he is checkers or wreckers at times too. And he'll wreck a car if it means it's going to get him a win.
Yeah.
And he doesn't let anybody get in his way. He doesn't care if they're a veteran or not. He's there to race. And I like that. That's what they're all there for in the end.
Well, who do you like going into this season? Who do you think has the team that, I mean, it's been, you know, for the last, or at least the last five out of six, it's been Mr. Johnson. And last year we had some new blood as a champion. What, who do you like?
Well, I mean, I guess if, you know, I mean, here, let me go out on a limb. I guess you'll have to look at Kevin Harvick. I mean, he's your current champion right now going into this. I mean, he's going to be riding the momentum train. But if you're going to look at statistics and history, you've got to look at Jimmy Johnson. Then even when he's fallen off and not won a championship in the few seasons that he has, he's come right back and won one. And he was there. I mean, he was a part of the chase. I like Dale Earnhardt Jr. just because I like him. And it's going to be interesting to see. He's got a new crew chief this year who actually was the crew chief for his Nationwide Series car that he owned that Chase Elliott drove to a championship.
And he had a really good year last year.
Yes. Oh, very good year. The best season that he's had since being, you know, in the series. And then you've got, I think the emotional story to watch this season will be Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon announcing that this will be his final season driving full time. He is going to do some stuff next season.
He's going to do the Mark Martin thing.
He's going to do a few little things next season. And then he's also going to be up in the booth this season. They're rotating some of the guys. I know Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Jeff Gordon. I'm sure Carl Edwards at some point will be in the booth. He's pretty good too during the Xfinity races. But those are some of the guys that, and Brad Keselowski, you got to watch.
Isn't he like 24, 25? He's a young kid.
Yeah, no, I want to say he looks like he's like 19. Brad, I want to say is I think early 30s.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, announced today, him and his girlfriend are expecting their first baby. So him and Kyle Busch both will be, which is funny because they're big time rivals. Both expecting their first little ones.
Even in childbirth, they're. That's funny.
So yeah.
Well, I tell you, I'm excited. And as you know, I joined up your fantasy league.
Yes.
And if folks are interested in joining your fantasy league, how can they do that? Or what can we do to get folks to participate in that? I know there's a password and all that. Can we put that up somewhere on our page? And
yes.
If folks are interested in joining Don Murphy's fantasy racing league, we can get that done? Is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, put it up on your page. And then eventually we're going to have links to my website. Page. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at TrackSmackDawn, and I have the information up there.
D-A-W-N.
Uh-huh. Yes, Dawn, not Don. Here in the South. So at TrackSmackDawn.
Or if you're up in the East, it's Dawn.
It's Dawn.
Dawn.
Dawn. Hey, what's up, Dawn? When I lived in Boston, I loved it because they said my first name right. My maiden name is Bartlett, and they screwed up my last name. And I'm
Bartlett.
Like, man.
Was it Bartlett?
Yeah, Bartlett. Dawn Bartlett.
Yeah, I had some great friends, and if they're listening, excuse me, but they were from New Jersey, and they were from Teaneck, New Jersey.
Teaneck? I have some friends from Teaneck.
Yeah, and they were awesome, but they were like, hey, John, you know, and it's John. So yeah. I always enjoyed that.
So yeah, and you can pick the Jersey people apart from the New Yorkers. New York talks out of the nose, and Jersey is like really like it's like almost every the W's and I don't know. It's funny. I picked up all the East Coast things. The ones that threw me are the
you
main.
You lived up there a while.
Yeah, I went to college in Boston. I tell you, the ones that shocked me though was. Do they call themselves Mainers? Is that what you would call yourself if you're from Maine? Would you be a Mainer? I don't know.
I don't know.
But my friends from Maine had a thicker accent than the friends in Boston.
Really?
And I wasn't expecting it. Yeah, and it's a really weird thick accent.
Huh. I've been to Maine a few times. I love Maine.
I love it.
Portland, Maine is gorgeous. My favorite city up in that part of the world is Portsmouth, New Hampshire. That is a gorgeous little town.
I love New Hampshire. Loudoun is one of my favorite places to go to because I'm able to fly into Boston, so I get to see, you know, people in Boston, and then make the short drive over to New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, and have some lobster up there.
Nice, nice. Well, TrackSmack with Don Murphy is going to be coming up real soon.
Yes.
We're gonna keep that updated so that you guys know when and where to catch her show, and you can catch her on Twitter at what's your handle again?
At TrackSmackDawn.
And we're going to have gotracksmack.com is your website. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be adding some things to that. And we're going to have a great racing season. And I'm so excited to have TrackSmack in its 13th season.
Yes.
made available to the masses coming soon. Don Murphy, thank you for coming into Tailgate Radio this week.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, we'll be back with our wrapped up segment here of Tailgate Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Time is right to use a spud spot. Oil and spots make it fast and nice. Crispy on the outside, fluffy in the middle. Don't you just love the spud spot?
Spud Spike's the original food grade stainless steel 6-inch baking potato perfection system. It's made right here in the USA. The Spud Spikes, along with our gourmet potato skin rubs and everyday seasonings, are perfect for baking, barbecuing, cookouts, grilling, steaming. They're good for indoor and outdoor kitchens, campers, RVs, tailgating, barbecue lovers, brats, sausages, and perfect holiday gifts for that special loved one. Just a nail? I don't think so. The Spud Spikes Baked Potato Perfection System. Buy it online now at spudspikes.com. That's spudspikes.com.
It's right to use a Spud Spike. Your oil and spice and make it fast and nice. It's crispy on the outside.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of Tailgate Radio. I want to give a big, very, very, very special thanks to Dawn Murphy. I am so excited to have her, TrackSmack with Dawn Murphy, coming on the Game Day Media Network. That's our parent organization, and it's going to be available on all the downloadable destinations out there. iTunes, Podomatic, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Stitcher Radio, all that. So be ready to listen to Dawn Murphy. And even if you're not a big race fan, I think you're going to find her show is very infectious and something you're going to want to listen to every week. And she's going to have some kick-ass guests. I've seen the guest list, and it's some of the biggest names in NASCAR and in sports in general. So you're going to have another great opportunity to listen to a premier NASCAR leader when it comes to content and bringing you all the latest news in NASCAR. So listen to Track Smack with Dawn Murphy coming up later this month, and you can check her website out at gotracksmack.com and soon to be tracksmackradio.com, and we'll have more information on that as it comes available. And folks, I want to thank you again so much for your continued support of Tailgate Radio, making us the number one show in the sports and outdoor category in the entire world. And that was fantastic to hit that milestone, and we really appreciate your continued listenership. You can always find us at tailgateradio.com, on Twitter at @tailgateradio, and over at our Facebook page at Tailgate Radio. Easy, easy, easy. You can also check out our great sponsors on our website, our good friends over at Amazon.com. If you want to buy anything over there through our website, they kick back a few bucks to us to keep the lights on. And also our merchandise site over at ShirtSickle.com. There's a link on the bottom of our page. You can go over there and check out our Tailgate Radio t-shirts. And we are soon to have over 25 tailgating designs that are going to be for whatever season and however you want to wear them. They're good quality merchandise. We're working with the great folks at Shirt Sickle, based in Chicago, Illinois, and they are fantastic. They ship anywhere on planet Earth, and we would love for you to support our brand and some of the cool sayings we're going to have with our shirts over there. So, folks, that's going to about wrap it up for me. For everybody here at Tailgate Radio, thanks again for your continued support. Listen to us every week. Hit that download button. We appreciate all of your support. And as we always say, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Catch y'all's asses on down the road.